one in the air today. This has a real chance. It will go! Back-to-back home runs. That ball did get over the wall. Despite stopping at second, Ramon can round the bases. And O'Hurt demolishes this ball. Right field. It's gone! One more for the memories. Another breaking ball. This one hit a long way by Sanchez to center. Mullins!
No, he didn't.
No, you cannot be serious. No! No way!
No way! He didn't catch that! Yes!
I want to see the baseball!
That's Kevin Brown and Ben McDonald yesterday on Masson going full on John McEnroe. You cannot be serious. Talking about Cedric Mullins, that Spider-Man leap into the right center field wall to steal a home run from Sanchez. And at the time, preserve the Orioles' lead against the Toronto Blue Jays. Cedric Mullins also doubled. Made it strike out with the guy on third, base loaded, and less than two outs. But we're not really going to sit here and criticize why we're going here. And we heard Ryan O'Hearn, that missile he hit yesterday off of Barrios while we were on the air, gave the Orioles an early 3-0 lead. And then Ramon Urias homer twice just a couple of days ago for the Baltimore Orioles. Urias, he's gone to the Houston Astros. We'll get into the compensation here in a minute. Overnight, Andrew Kittredge was traded to the Chicago Cubs for a young infielder. I mean, young, like 17 years old. You have baseball gloves older than this guy. And then we also heard from O'Hearn and Cedric Mullins, because the anticipation is today that they will be dealt away from the Baltimore Orioles to teams unknown. The Reds appear to be percolating in regards to Cedric Mullins. The Astros, among others, have been looking maybe at Ryan O'Hearn, who brings positional versatility. Play both corner outfield spots, first base. Bring some left-handed pop to the equation. Obviously, good DH for you. So it's a trade deadline. Now, O'Hearn and Mullins are not gone yet. Neither are Eplin or Morton or Sagano or any others. But Nolan McGraw, will start with you because we were talking about it before the show. The Kittredge trade, you're not cool with that for some reason.
Well, it didn't have to happen, and I think that's kind of the point here. Most of the moves that we've seen so far have not really been the obvious ones, right? There's no Mullins, no O'Hearn, no Charlie Morton. Any of the expiring deals, guys that you have been talking about for months at this point, that could have been traded. And Kittredge, look, we know the story. He had team control, a club option for next year at $9 million. And maybe they were a little spooked by his injury earlier this year. Maybe they don't feel quite comfortable in that. But I think just based on the return, 17-year-old shortstop coming back, even if that kid, and he was the top 20 in the Cubs system, mm-hmm. obviously, I'm not breaking news here, he's not going to help the 2026 Orioles.
Really?
So the only way he's going to have any impact on next year's team, like an Andrew Kittredge would have, is if Mike Elias turns around, packages Wilfried De La Cruz to go get some sort of starting pitcher or whoever. If he's immediately turned around and flipped, then my opinion changes. That's really the only issue I have with it. You're giving away somebody that could have, and in my opinion, really would have helped the bullpen next year when you've already subtracted multiple names from your bullpen already. That's really my only hang-up. So I guess the jury's still out. But for now, not over the moon about it.
Yeah, and the Andrew Kittredge era in Baltimore was not a glorious one. As you said, he missed the first month or plus of the season with a knee injury. And who knows, this De La Cruz kid could turn out to be the next Ozzie Smith. We don't know. But what Andrew Kittredge does, he gains a few games in the standings. He goes from a team that's in last place to a team that's battling for first place in the NL Central with the Milwaukee Brewers, and gets himself right into a playoff spot. Now, for the Astros, they get Ramon Urias and another guy that's under contract for next year. Twine Palmer, 20-year-old right-hander, put up big numbers in double or single A. He comes in return, drafted last year by the Houston Ball Club. And again, I mean, I don't know this guy. And I don't know what the, I guess there's upside. Mike Elias knows more than we do, for sure. But Ramon Urias, a valuable utility piece. But Nolan, utility piece. Because it's Jackson Holiday, Gunnar Henderson, Jordan Westberg for the foreseeable future. Ramon Urias, though, he's one of these guys that's good to have around. He's Patrick McCary, if you will, for the Orioles infield. Could literally play all four spots, and he's not a massive human being. Got a little more pop, and he's a Gold Glove winner, too. And he fills a need that Houston has right now at third base.
Yeah, then getting anything for him, he's kind of like Ramon Laureano for me. Although Laureano, much more attractive because of his offense this year, but nothing against Arias because he's pretty capable with his bat as well. So I just think it's an opportunity to sell high on a utility player, which both of those guys are. And I don't have a problem with that one, even though it is another young player that's not going to immediately ascend and help you. But anytime the Orioles are acquiring pitching, prospects, that is, I think it's something to celebrate just with how depleted they were in that department and their system.
Now, explain to me, we heard Cedric Mullins, that brilliant catch he made yesterday against Toronto. And then he made the glove side catch over the weekend. And he's made brilliant plays. The Seattle game of 23 will always be memorable for me, where he made the leapy catch over the wall that saved the game. Then Bauman gave up a home run. And that said hit the game-winning homer for the Orioles in that one. And that was one of the best games of that 2023 season. But as Tony Manzalino said a couple of days ago, we get the zone ratings and arm strength, and that is an issue because runners take extra bases against you. But Nolan, explain to me why he's not even a finalist for Gold Glove. Scrubs don't make plays like that. Well, sorry. Yeah.
The Gold Glove is maybe one of the most head-scratching awards in not just baseball.
Managers used to vote for it based on what eye test stuff.
Well, maybe we need to get back to that. Yeah. I mean, a balance is fine between stats and eye test, but when you've got, you know, forget Cedric getting snubbed, when you've got guys like Juan Soto getting, you know, in the running for Gold Glove, you know, it devalues the award. I mean, back in the day, didn't Rafael Palmeiro win one when he was a DH for a majority of the year? Yeah. I mean, stuff like that.
Year for first baseman.
It makes a mockery out of the award. So that's a whole different thing. But those that watch Cedric Mullins know how good of a defensive player he is. And it's robbing home runs. He's had three web gems in the last week. So I think that says it all. And those are just three of a countless amount in his career. I mean, he might be one of the most... We've seen a lot of great defensive players here in Baltimore, but in terms of the dazzling play, like laying out, diving, climbing the wall,
no doubt,
crazy stuff like that, he might be towards the top of the list for me.
If this is the swan song for Cedric Mullins, how do we remember him as an Oriole? I mean, only player in Oriole history with 30-30 season. All-star, many spectacular moments like we saw yesterday. Unfortunately, the Orioles lose. Could have swept that series. They were up 3-0, 5-3. Dean Kramer, that's two starts in a row where he was handed a multi-run lead, and the Orioles couldn't get the win. Cano was brutal yesterday. But, I mean, I'm guessing Cedric Mullins, when it's all said and done, 5 years after his playing career comes to an end, hey, welcome to the Oriole Hall of Fame.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt about it. I mean, that's a core guy. Survived the rough years. Got to enjoy some winning, which is great. Kind of like an Austin Hayes. But I'll remember him for the defense. For yesterday, that play is a perfect encapsulation of Cedric Mullins' time with the Orioles, no doubt about it. The dazzling plays and the fact that they would come at any moment. You know, it could come in a tie game in the 12th inning, or it could come in a blowout in the middle of April. It doesn't matter. He played the same way in every single game. His motor was nonstop. It didn't matter the situation. Full effort every single time he took the field.
I think it's a guy that eventually management and managers or whatever can talk about guys that have adversity at that time. And you go back and you look at what Cedric Mullins done, got sent back down to Double-A and then came back up and did
told him to stop switch hitting.
Yeah. So, I mean, that dude overcame more adversity. So I think that is the thing that I remember is, you know, got sent down, didn't give up, fought back, and then look what he's done. I think it's a great story.
6 o'clock tonight, trade deadline. Until he's gone, and we were still assuming he's gone. Now, if he's around after today at 6. Then we're like, well, okay, what's the end game for Mike Elias? And for Ryan O'Hearn, finally, he homers yesterday, a shot, big-time blast off Barrios, gave the Orioles the early advantage. They got him off waivers from Kansas City. Remember, 2023, he didn't even make the team coming out of spring training. And then he has been one of the most reliable players. He wasn't drafted as an Oriole, but he is an Oriole. And for him, like Ramon Urias and like Andrew Kittredge and probably Cedric Mullins and whoever else goes, they're going from the basement maybe to the penthouse. And Nolan, you're like, well, I'm not really, you know, whatever with O'Hearn. Not dismissing him, but I will tip of the cap for what he brought to the equation. But we talked about it yesterday, Vinny, when you were at a one-winning drive. Basayo's coming up. Mm-hmm. Mountcastle's coming back next week in Philadelphia. You got Mayo. I mean, you got to start looking at next year, and O'Hearn's a free agent. So he's did you a solid. He'll bring some level of value back, and you'll do him a solid by sending him to a contender here.
Right. They don't view him as the future. I think that's pretty clear and evident. Sure. I mean, the fact that he's done what he's done the past 3 years after coming over here from the Royals is just, at the time when they made that move, nobody really batted an eye. It was with the Levon Soto moves of the world where, oh, this guy's a waiver claim. He'll be gone in a week, maybe back in a couple months, gone again. I mean, just one of those pieces is just filling a roster spot. And then all of a sudden, he's one of the more clutch bats in the lineup for multiple years. So he has exceeded any expectations 1,000 times over. And the fact that he might get you the biggest return of all the moves they make at this deadline, fantastic.
Now, if you want to complain about the trades, get in here at 410-583-1057. We were talking to Jeremy Kahn from the Big Bad Morning Show during the flip. And Soto sucked when he pitched for the Orioles. Kittredge was, what the hell, man? Dominguez, he was terrible. He looked good yesterday against the Orioles, by the way, again. Now, all of a sudden, we're trading away 3 All-Stars. Urias, I'm more on the Urias because we'll talk to Tony Pente, top of the hour. Is there an Urias in the Orioles farm system? Like a guy that could bounce around from second, short, third, that would replace him? Because, again, I think the Orioles are contending next year. And this is going to be an interesting offseason, as we've discussed 1,000 times, for Mike Elias, trading away guys with controllable years. What's his big picture plan coming up here? But with all due respect to Kittredge, I'm not beefing about any of this stuff.
Right. Well, Bob, isn't the pressure on Elias Nick? He got to build that bullpen because it's kind of empty.
He got to build. Well, we'll see who can or who cannot pitch over the next 2 months. It won't be Braxton Bragg, by the way, who had Tommy John surgery. But Elias, now you got to fill the roster. We know the core players. They're good core players. We got that. But it's only like 6 or 7 of them.
Right.
I mean, you go against 9. And the other teams have pitchers. So, Mike Elias, your hands are full. And let's see if you're up to the challenge. But in regards to what the compensation has been in return, get a 19th-rated prospect for Soto, a top 10 guy for Dominguez, who's now one of your top 8 guys. I don't know about the 2 dudes last night, but what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
They're in last place now with these players.
Right. No, it's what you can do. What can you immediately turn all of this return that you're getting into? I mean, that's my whole point. You know, a lot of these pieces you're getting are years and years away from being major leaguers. So, I mean, there was a report out there from Nightingale earlier this week that, hey, don't ignore the Orioles potentially buying, as crazy as that sounds, that they could. The report was that they're going to take what they're getting right now and immediately flip it. Not even this offseason, like right now. So it made it sound like that's what they're trying to do. Whether it happens or not remains to be seen, because you're obviously bidding against a lot of other teams. But again, you're the 17-year-old kid's not going to help you for a while. So I think Andrew Kittredge would have been nice to have next year.
And real quick, we got to hit a break. And again, talking to Jeremy before the show, Ed Gore's available. Alcantara, who's been available, or Alcantara, if you will. And why not offer the best package? Mm-hmm. They might not go to, you know, team A, B, or C. They'll be in my rotation next year. That's going to help the cause. So, Mike Elias, man, maybe you're onto something, Nolan. His brilliance is beyond what we know.
Well, that's the only way it ends up being.
I don't know how brilliant it is yet.
That's the only way it ends up being viewed favorably. If these were all moves just to acquire more pieces and stock the farm system for years to come, well, what's the point of that? that does nothing. That's just Elias being Elias and bulking up on prospects.
Yeah, Elias being Elias, now we're wondering, is that a good or bad thing?
Right, and if you're Elias and you know you're kind of on the hot seat, I don't know that going and getting a 17-year-old really helps him at all, you know what I mean?
That's kind of looking like that's all he knows how to do, though. I mean, the thing with the draft and everything, like when they traded Baker for the draft pick.
Right.
And the more you thought about that.
He turned out to be Little Slay, by the way.
Right, but the more you thought about that, okay, I'm on board with it. Because if there's one area of Mike Elias's, you know, resume or what he does that I actually trust, it's his drafting ability. So it's hard for me to argue against that, but everything else, very suspect.
All right, get in here at Total Request Thursday, 410-583-1057. Trade deadline, 6 o'clock. Everything that happens, obviously, while we're on the air, we'll share it with you. Vinny was out of camp again yesterday. He'll be there again today. Looks like rain could be in the forecast. But no Zay Flowers. Why no Zay? We'll talk about that here on The Fan.